welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook, or at GBSEFTA, my friends. Actually, no, that doesn't work, does it? Would they be? Well, they might be my friends. Twitter's, we're all friends on Twitter, aren't we, Gary Bailey?
Yeah, we're all right.
Oh, Gaz. Well, I've learnt my lesson. I thought for a change I'd swing to Gary first and get his positive vibes, but I'm going to have to get Adam Carroll to help me out instead.
Twitter is the greatest place ever. I love it. I check it every day. It is full of positivity.
There was one thing you said that was true, and that was that you check it every day. The rest of that was a barefaced lie. It's everyone's scared at the moment, I think, because Call of Duty's on the way, and of course Red Dead Redemption 2 is on the way. Everyone's scared, and the games have calmed down, finally. We've got loads more in the year, you know, Fallout, Hitman 2, Just Cause, Pokemon. There are plenty of games still to come. Of course, Battlefield, actually. Christ, Battlefield's gone quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah,
I think
yeah, because I'm guessing they're just like, look, let's just get our heads down, get it out. We've already delayed it. We just
maybe
get fix on it, and I don't know.
Absolutely, but there is one big game that we talked about last week that I think a few of us have had now time to play. I will warn you up front that I think this is going to be a shorter podcast than I used to, but that's fine because there's going to be a lot of game chatter coming up. I've played the first few hours of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I think Gary has as well. Yeah. Maybe more than a few hours, actually, because you've seen the late title.
Yeah, it's about 6 hours or something like that, I think I've put into it.
Okay. I like this game so far. I feel like... So, behind the curtain a little bit, when Nicola was reviewing this, she was like sending me thoughts on, you know, this is what, you know, what I think so far. And she, you know, you were just chatting away like you do, you know, pre-release about a game with people you work with. And she was mentioning how, oh my God, this feels way too much like a reskin of Origins. I think I'm still in that period, because there was a period for her where she was like, no, okay, now it's elevated itself. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There was a period where it went from that to something new. I can see the igniting the flames to get there, but not actually there yet. Like, I will say, Cassandra's amazing. I think she's... I don't know if anyone else has pointed this out yet, but Gaz, when you first start as her, the thing that immediately sets the stall out for what kind of character she is that, so you start the game as her and she's kind of in her rags. It looks like she's in almost in her night clothes, doesn't it? And she comes down and you stab two people up. And once you've stabbed them up, it goes to a sort of mini cutscene where she sits down and she just whacks her legs wide open. She does not give a smallest of fucks that she has got her legs wide open. You know, and then like a young girl comes along and she's sitting there. And I think it's deliberate that they made the little girl sit almost prim and proper while Cassandra is just there like legs akin. But she does not give a flying fuck.
She's...
And I think that's set out very early on.
Yeah, she's no like... proper lady or anything like that. She's a fucking warrior. No. It's just like she doesn't care. And I'm totally in love with Cassandra already.
Oh, she's awesome, but I feel like this could be like a real good sort of a point in gaming for sort of some, because her character feels well rounded, well written, and just a badass. Like, she's not eye candy, you know what I mean? And it's a really refreshing thing to just see this awesome female character. And I know there are other awesome female characters, but this is a huge budget game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think especially within the franchise as well, because I haven't heard anyone talk about an Assassin's Creed protagonist since I'd seen this strongly, I'd
Connor?
Say, since... like
Oh, right.
No, I'd say Ezio.
Yeah,
Ezio would be the last one. I think, like, who is the main protagonist is in this one?
Alexios,
yeah. Like, people are not interested at all, apparently. Like, has anyone given him a shot?
I've not seen anyone talk about him at all. I've just set off my Amazon device by saying his name. I don't know if that will have picked up on the mic. It's just picked up me saying, let's try it again. Sod it, Alexios. Not that time, apparently. it is
quite close. Tell us, Adam, look, you've only played a handful of hours in Origins, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So where...
Well, I played about eight or nine in Origins, and I was playing it, like, for the first time I played it, I was like, there's just no way I'm going to get through this. I just wanted to get a taster for the Game of the Year chat. And then I started it, tried it again this year, and I did enjoy it, and I put more hours in, but I got to the point very quickly where I realised... I'm never going to finish this game. For me personally, despite it being a very good game, I'm never going to find the hours to finish this game. And I think Odyssey is probably going to probably fall the same way. I just think I'll get more hours into it. I think her character I like more than Bayek, who was fine, was a really cool character as well, but I really like Cassandra. The world is beautiful, no question. I think it's a very, very strong move of Ubisoft to make sure that you can hang off of a man's grapes in the very, very first hour. Like, you climb Zeus's balls, like, in that first hour. And
whereas
they
I went the other way, I went up his arse.
Oh, what, you went for the shaft?
Give him a, no, I went, you know, over his arse, at least to be, you know, give him at least some modesty. But no, everyone else has gone right for the dick. Like,
oh, mate.
Just zoned straight in on that peen.
Right, okay. Like,
game of the year then.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? All joking aside, right? I'm telling you now that when we come to do like moment of the year for those awards, I'm putting down Zeus's bollocks, because there's a cracking moment when you do. I mean, Gary, I don't know if you saw this then, but when you clamber over his member, she talks to herself and goes, "I'm really not sure I should be climbing here."
No, I didn't
get that.
And I
think that's a lovely little touch. See, I think that's a lovely little touch from Ubisoft to be like, "Hey, listen, this is going to be a different kind of Assassin's Creed. We're going to have maybe a bit of fun with this."
Yeah.
And like the fact that Spartan kicks and shit. Do you know, the only thing I'd say, I think it's got a mega slow start for, like, so you should...
Well, Gaz actually put up a very interesting tweet, and I don't know if it was because, like, Gaz, were you messing around, or was it that you played, 3 or 5 hours and then the title credits came up?
No, that's true. They did that with Origins.
Yeah, because it's just I didn't do loads of extra stuff, but I did... like a few of the side quests and just kind of potted around the island a bit. But still, it was like about 5 hours, something like that. And it's like, here's your title screen. I was like, excuse me? You know, I just didn't expect it at all.
Well, I suppose, like, going forward with this Assassin's Creed chat, I think, like, there's a lot to discuss, obviously. But I think right now, what do you feel is different? What is it? Because to
it's got the RPG-ness. Like, it has RPG-penis. There's got to be a pun in there. RPG. Damn it. We need to workshop this. Or workshaft this. You've opened the gate, and I'm just running through it now, mate. There's no stopping me once we get going. It's definitely more of an RPG. Like, the dialogue options. Yeah. Do you know what? I want to stop there just for a minute, actually, and talk about the dialogue. I find it a bit peculiar the way they're throwing fucks and shits around. It just feels odd. Now, I don't know if it's a historically accurate game.
With Medusa's in it, isn't she, and stuff. So I wouldn't have gone fully. I mean, Assassin's Creed has never really been that accurate, has it?
Not really. But it's not so much the fact that they swear that bothers me. It's that.
The delivery?
I find some of the characters, they kind of... There was one, I swear to God, was giving a good Greek accent, but then when they swore, they just dropped into another... They're obviously an American actor.
Mm.
And I found that peculiar.
I suppose that's a good point to go off of here, actually, because the voice acting is something, for me, that's just been... It hasn't been really there for me in any Creed game, I think, but I'm hearing a lot from... it's a bit of an improvement.
I think Cassandra's is an improvement. I think a lot of the NPCs, it's like...
still stiff and weird and...
Well, the NPCs don't seem to be named a lot of the time. Like, some of them, it's just like woman or like vegetable farmer. Like, they don't actually give them names, some of them, guys, do they?
I don't know whether it's just because they're just like, this game's massive. We don't need to give everyone a name. Fuck it, just go for it.
While we're talking about things I don't like, there's the mercenary system, which is basically Nemesis. Like, Nicola said it was like Nemesis Light. 100% agree. Like, it is missing a lot of what makes the Nemesis system so cool. I do like it, though.
Like,
I do like the it, but
the first time I got, like, I was sort of on their radar quite early on. I'm guessing that's just like a scripted kind of thing.
Yeah,
but
it definitely
then
is.
I think it was yesterday. I just booted up the game, and suddenly it's just like he's tracking you. I'm like, what?
Okay, so I went after him. He was level 5 for me, and I'm like, I'm going to get to level 5 and go take him.
That was my plan, and I was level 4, I think it was, and it was just, like I say, I loaded it up, and the first thing it did was go, yeah, you're being tracked. So I sent, I looked at through Icarus's eyes, and it was just like, there's his little icon making a beeline for me.
Moving.
I was like, okay, I ended up fighting him. Initially, I thought, I'm going to hide in a bush. I'm going to go the Nicola PUBG route and go for the bush. But he came along and was like, screw it. I want to have a fight with this guy. And it was quite a big fight. It probably took about 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, they're not over quickly.
I was just...
Yeah. Does this system like feel as personal as, say, the...
Nowhere near. Nowhere near. That's where they drop the ball. Like, so you can go into the menus and it shows you what they're weak to. I don't think that's very well done, because I went into my first guy.
I didn't even know that.
He's got a heart condition. Oh, yeah, no, you can go into the system and it shows you. So my first guy had a heart condition, which apparently means he's more susceptible to bow and arrows, or it might have been assassination attempts, one of the two, but those were his two weaknesses, right, basically. So I got near him and I like aimed at him with a headshot, and it was well, I'm level 5, he's level 5. It didn't even take away a quarter of his health, and... Like, if I'm level 5 and he's level 5 and he's weak to bow and arrows, I feel like a headshot should do, if not death, it should significantly wound him.
Yeah, it's and a little bit too gamey.
I feel like that's
that
one
way
of those things they are not getting right. Yeah, that is exactly it. Like, I feel like there's a lot... We've talked about this before, how if you stab someone in the neck, then they should die. And that's definitely not the case in Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I have noticed, though, there's some of the assassination... the actual animations, they're a little bit overly brutal. Like, Cassandra's like, I've already stabbed him in the neck, but I'm still going to beat the shit out of him afterwards as well, just for good measure, just in case you're not entirely sure that he's dead.
I worry about the pacing as well, because it seems like you can unlock skills for things you don't have yet. So I had heard about the is it spoilery? You can throw a spear and kind of warp to them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I unlocked that skill, but it doesn't work because I don't think I've got the spearhead yet.
Well, she has that straight from the beginning, didn't she?
Well, it does. That's what I thought, but it doesn't seem to work. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And the same with, I unlocked a skill with one of the bow and arrow things where you can snap to.
Right.
And I don't think that targeting works very well.
Right.
Like, it doesn't snap to. It's like you have to have aimed at them once before and then it will snap to. But I don't feel like... Again, that may be just a byproduct of the fact that there is so much going on in this game that I'm not... Like, you start off with a flashback. And I do want to point out how odd it is that you're essentially in this game playing the present-day character who is in the Animus, but now you're also seeing flashbacks of somebody else. And then you can also see flashbacks of Cassandra's youth. And it's like, when you start to think about that process, it's
kind of like
bad,
Inception. But, it's like the dream within a dream sort of thing.
It's exactly that. It is exactly that. I want to point out that, like Nicola mentioned about the exploration mode, are you playing in that?
Yes.
So am I, but I don't know how long I'm going to last, because
it
seems great.
What's this mode exactly?
So if you go and talk to someone about a mission or a side mission, they'll tell you, can you go and kill this shark for me? It's guarding some treasure. It's over by this place. And you're like, I don't know where that is. And you can ask them. They go, it's just south of X place, which you might know where it is. And then you basically have to, rather than just getting an icon, go here to find place, you get, like, on your screen, it will say, it'll give you those clues you've been given, and you have to find where it is. So rather than just having a screen littered with icons, it's on you to discover where that location is, where that person is.
That,
like,
seems
it might be
incredibly
case of,
hard.
It's really good.
It's really good.
It's very much an immersion
thing,
isn't it? I don't
think I would cope for 100 hours.
I was like, I don't want the icons everywhere. I kind of like the idea of exploring a bit more.
I just don't know how long I'm going to last, Gaz, because I'm getting to the point already where there are lots of missions popping up. And it's like, look, I think if... just tell me where these wolves are that I need to go and kill for this side quest.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just point me to them. Don't make me go hunt. I get it. It's a really cool idea, but I think it will be better in a smaller game.
I think it's more of a subjective thing, though, isn't it? Because I think I'm happy to keep that on. I'll play it like that the entire way through. And I will say, actually, just I mentioned this on Twitter. It's like, I'm just so surprised by how much I want to play this game. Because I just did not...
thinking about it all day.
It's like, I just did not like Assassin's Creed before now. I played the first one.
Was the last one you played?
The last one I played was Black Flag. I played something I didn't like that.
And you didn't like Black Flag?
No, that's because like, I played the first one when that came out, and I didn't finish it because I just got bored of it. The second one I played maybe about an hour of, just couldn't get into it. And then, like, Black Flag was on Games with Gold ages ago, so I thought, you know, I'll give it a try because everyone says how good it was, and I was just like, I just don't like it. Even the ship combat, I didn't like it, but for whatever reason, I'm enjoying it in Odyssey. I don't know whether it's just tightened up or what, I don't know, but it's...
I haven't even unlocked the ship combat. My worry with Odyssey so far is that I am so enjoying just going around that starting island and finding stuff, like going into the caves. Like, I think it's a side quest where you go into this cave where people are praying to a statue.
Yeah.
Did you do that? Does that ring a bell? And you go behind the crack in the cave and find that it's basically bandits are fleecing people. And when you come back out of that, you know, it's just fairly standard. You go in, you kill the bandits, get the treasure, come back out, and you're going to go and tell the guy, well, you can tell him what you want to tell him, you get options. But on the way back out, someone else is praying, and you can just be silent, or you can pretend that you're the god because they can't see you. And then that triggers another side quest where you can go and find out why this woman's so poor, and you can just leave the money for her, or not.
I didn't get that. I went out kind of like the back of the cave. The back of the cave leads out somewhere else.
Okay, yeah, I just figured, do you know what, I'll just go back the way I came. More in case I'd finished looting stuff. I hadn't finished looting everything. So you go back out, and there's a woman basically praying, going, oh, I don't know what to do. You know, my cart's broken. I was going to go and sell my baskets, and I can't, my cart's broken. Please help me, please help me. And you've got two options. One, basically speak and pretend you're the god speaking to her. Two, silence. So I actually did silence, and it gave me the option again. And I was like, oh, it obviously wants me to do the voice. You do the voice, and you tell her, you know, go back and do your thing, and you will find a bounty. And so what you do is the money you got back off the bandits, you go in, it's another investigation, you look at her stuff, you see her cart is broken, she's telling the truth, and she had some baskets to sell, but she can't because she needs the cart to get them there, and you just pop the money you stole there, and that's just another quest.
It's very Witcher. It's very, very Witcher.
It is very Witcher, but I don't think it is. It sounds harsh. I don't think it's quite on that
level. It's not as good, I will say. Like, but I appreciate the Witcher style of it because I love The Witcher, and if I can play a game that's similar to that, brilliant. You know, I'm happy.
I just it's too big. Like, there's no way around it.
Are we still on Juice's penis? Yeah.
Do you... answer me a question then, honestly, right? And I want you to bear in mind that we all know Red Dead Redemption's 2 weeks away. Do you see yourself finishing this, honestly?
Yeah. Partly because I've already decided I'm not getting Red Dead straight away. I'm going to wait on it.
Oh! Because you're going to play through this first.
Yeah, I'm going to play through this.
Okay, hang on. Let me rephrase the question then. If you are willing to play this through first, are you not worried that's a bit too much open world gaming?
I mean, for me personally, no, I'm happy with it. I like open world games, but I think people just in general are getting a little bit bored of open world games, or at least a little bit sick of the size of some of them. Because like, I think Spider-Man kind of got it right, especially because of how quickly you can get through the open world, you know, from end to end kind of thing, whereas Assassin's Creed, it's going to be very slow because you're going to have to sail from island to island. I mean, you can fast travel once you've unlocked the synchronization thing, but
do you not feel there's less of an emphasis on them as well? Well, I suppose if you haven't played Assassin's Creed in a while, I'm quite surprised by in this the things that you think of when you think of an Assassin's Creed game. Towers,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Climbing a tower. I've done one of them, but it didn't tell me to. I just saw it and I was like, I'll go do that then. There don't seem to be a focus on that. There doesn't seem to be a focus on a lot of the things that make Assassin's Creed Assassin's Creed.
That could be why
I think that's why I'm liking this. Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I feel like this, like if they're not doing an Assassin's Creed next year, which they said they're not. The next one, if they're going to continue down this route, could be absolutely incredible. because they're definitely leaning into the RPG aspect of this, of what they built on in they are building on Origins in a big way. Well, I know you didn't play this game's got you. It's got
I mean, they've got the potential here, because if you think of, well, BioWare fucked it, didn't they, with Andromeda? I know there were various issues, but the entire thing is that game just was nothing like it should have been. It was a poor game. There's a big gap now.
It was a weird game, because I started playing it and was enjoying it, and then at some point I was like, I don't know why I'm playing this, and just stopped.
It's kind of like you get to sort of like, I don't know, 12, 15 hours, and you're like, why am I doing this? There was nothing pulling me forward, kind of thing. But it does leave a gap for a new BioWare game sort of thing, just obviously from somewhere else. And I think that might be what Odyssey is going for, and what Assassin's Creed is heading towards, you know, like improvements over the years. So, I mean, for me, I suppose it depends on if BioWare come out with Dragon Age next year, because that Inquisition needs a sequel, and I want that. But that's kind of going off on one.
I just think that Odyssey should have been released a month earlier.
I just think it's a
difficult thing, isn't it? Because I mean, Red Dead is essentially the centre of this Q4 this year.
But what I mean is, I'm not going to bullshit anyone here. Like, I platinumed Spider-Man, and I knew. Because of we'll get onto Spider-Man, I suppose, as well. But I played through that game in a way I don't think I've ever played through an open world game. Because I feel that most people play through an open world game, they do some collectible stuff along the way, finish the story, and then if they like it enough, they go back to do it. And I think I did that with God of War and Platinum and Horizon. I did it the same way. Finished the story, went back and did the trophies to get the Platinum. Spider-Man, I did everything on the way, so that by the time I'd hit the... I don't want to spoil anything here, so I'm going to say I was in Act 3, but I had maybe a couple of boss fights through Act 3, I think. By the time I'd hit that point, I knew that when I finished the story, I was going to get the Platinum as well. I had done everything. Right. And that includes, I think, some really... I don't like the challenges in this game. I don't like it feels very old... In a game that feels so cool and modern, I think it's really bad that there's so many insta-fail options. Like, I think that needs to be gone for the sequel. Just get rid of insta-fail. Make the game world reactive somehow. I don't mind it so much in the challenges per se. I did find them frustrating. Because I found that some of those challenges, they didn't work how they're supposed to. Like, so, you know, you can do your web strike, your triangle.
Yeah.
I found that you would do that to one, knock him out. Another one had his back to you, and you'd do it. And I just sometimes had it where I hit him, and it didn't knock him out. And it felt like I was being a little bit cheated. That's neither here nor there. The game's excellent. But I did that. That's an open world that, to me, is a new thing, that I literally had rinsed every ounce of that world out before I hit the final story mission. I think the game, in terms of story, it sticks its landing. I think there are some issues with the pacing, which we can't go into here. There will be a massive Spider-Man chat on Game of the Year, I think. I think that's going to be a really good listen, and hopefully a good chat for us to have. Spider-Man is a terrific game. I wanted to ask you guys...
Wait, when you say chat, I think you mean argument.
I don't think there'll be an argument. I think there will be a consensus. But because, again, I was jumping around a bit, but with Red Dead, for example, my worry is that's already been given Game of the Year awards by sites, where there are certainly elements of that game that sound questionable to me that I need to experience personally.
I think I get that myself with it.
Like, the whole...
I don't like the Sims aspect, basically.
Right, this I don't know that I want Zelda in my Red Dead, well, Breath of the Wild in my Red Dead. Again, I need to play it personally to find out if that is as big an issue as they're making out, or if it is, if you want that, it's available to you. Do you know what I mean? But it does feel like that's been given the award already, not by us, but generally, like, that game's...
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's that whole thing, tops, everyone, you know? Other publishers and developers are kind of running scared of it. You know, we all know Call of Duty has done that. Whether anyone will admit it or not, they've run scared, they're releasing early.
Of course they have. But what worries me about Assassin's Creed is that I worry if the things I've read about, because I, you know, this is no me, oh no, I can't talk about it yet, I haven't played it at all. And if the things I've heard and read about that game are true, that game is going to revolutionise aspects of open worlds in a way that's going to immediately make Assassin's Creed feel old hat. And same for Spider, as much as I love, like I say, I platinum Spider-Man, didn't have to, wasn't covering it, just wanted to. That is a good game for me. It's a game I personally like a lot, otherwise I wouldn't have done it. But I just feel with Spider-Man, a bit like Assassin's Creed, that the second one could be one of the best games of the generation. Like, Spider-Man is a terrific game. I think they overdo some stuff. Like, I think the traversal never stops being amazing. I felt by the end, the combat, I had more options than I used. I found that by the end, because it's, let's face it, there's X amount of enemies in that game, enemy types, but every one of those enemy types has a class. So there's the guy, I don't want to spoil the type of people you fight against, but there's each enemy type has a class,
yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Kind of like you have like the brute guy or whatever, and
that's exactly it, Gaz. And every one of them in each of the types, into each of the enemy types,
it's Batman.
You fight.
That's
them.
The thing, it's, isn't it? It's the Ark. Yeah, the Arkham had the exact same thing. You had the certain types which required certain moves to beat them.
But in this, like, so the electric guy, the guy with the electric baton,
yeah.
The way you beat him is the same as you beat the guy that you fight sort of three enemy classes on. It's just the different skin almost.
Yeah.
Slight different attacks. I found that by the end, my attack patterns were repetitive. And even my gadget use was...
one that I liked and kind of stuck with it.
Yep. Yeah. Was it the electric one by any chance? Or was it the web shot?
Yeah,
the
web grenade.
The left
one, that one.
Yeah, on the left. Like, yeah,
that one was a real good one.
And what I would tend to do is sometimes throw down some little drones quickly to just I quite liked the suspension one where you lift them in the air, but that makes you vulnerable. But I tended to basically, and again, stop me if you've heard this kind of thing, because I think most people do this. So it was kind of like maybe a couple, when the enemies got a bit stronger towards the end, a couple of punches, then a uppercut into the air, jump up, maybe a couple more punches, and then something else, maybe fling a web grenade off at someone nearby. And by that point, you've got some of the skills unlocked where you can do like a double finisher. So I started using that. And it kind of become very repetitious.
Never was it fun though. I think that's
no. It was always fun, but I just feel like you're given more tools than you need.
And better than the other way around, I suppose.
Excuse me. I suppose, but combined with those crimes aren't fun by the end, and I know you don't have to do them
unless you're platinum.
They're not fun. Yeah, that's what I mean. Unless you want the platinum by the end, those crimes.
Like, I gotta say, like, I hear a lot of this about the crimes and. I understand, and like there is probably a bit too many, especially if you're going for that platinum.
There's too many.
At the same time, like, I got to be honest, right? When I finished Spider-Man, I had this whole, like, I feel like I just want to play more of this kind of game again. And I just said I'd go back and, like, boot up Arkham Asylum, because I just wanted to see, in comparison, like, how far this kind of combat has come and stuff. And if I'm honest, like, it is so unbelievably tight, especially when you go back to see the Batman series and stuff, that I like, even when you're saying about all the gadgets and stuff, I didn't really find it like a thing where, oh, I'll just stick with this and like, what's the point of everything else? Because I think they balance it out to kind of say, like, you have all this, but do it your way. Do it whatever way makes it fun for you. And I think, like, there's that really cool gadget that's, it's like, it pulls the enemy in, like a tripwire thing or something.
So the tripwire, that showed to me, the trophy for the tripwire staff shows a playfulness that I hope there's more of in the next game.
I hadn't even
thought of doing what that trophy suggests you to do, like, web, you know, hit one. And but even that I found slightly inconsistent. Like, there would be two guys really near each other, I'd hit one and he'd just stand there with the tripwire on him, and I'm like, why isn't this working, you know, like, that's It's one of those games where I would trim 10 hours of open world. Like, I wouldn't change the story. The story's fine, but I'd trim 10 hours of open world because I think that would make it probably a 10 for me.
I don't know if it's like when you say trim 10 hours of the open world, are you saying like get rid of certain aspects or just make it smaller?
So like when you hit I want to be careful for spoilers here, but when you hit the third act, there are another, not just, because when each time you go through an act, like you get more crimes to do because there's a new faction involved. I just felt like when you hit the third act and they throw two lots of new crimes in every district and sometimes two lots of hideout, I feel like that was maybe over-egging the pudding. just maybe a bit much.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, I think.
And I also, I'm sorry, there's no nice way of saying this. To get the suits, I think I should have done them, because I don't think there's a trophy for unlocking all the skills, is there?
I can't remember.
But there's a trophy for suits and you need a lot of the icons.
Challenges.
Well, yeah, some of those challenges can just fuck off, because I think they're a bad idea. I think they're a bad idea because while you're playing the game, naturally, you feel a badass. You feel like, I am in total and utter control of Spider-Man, right? You feel like the 3D Spider-Man version of like a Super Meat Boy or a Celeste. That's the kind of control you feel as though you're in. Like, total control over Spidey. When you do the challenges, especially the drone ones, that challenge is... Those drone challenges make you feel like you're not in control of Spider-Man.
I will say, like, those drone challenges confused the hell out of me, right? Because I was like, okay, I get it. Chase the drone, collect the things, off we go.
Yeah.
I felt there were so many occasions where I was like, I absolutely nailed that.
I've done this. How the hell can you...
Because
it gives you a point breakdown and you're like, but I don't know what I did wrong.
Yeah, so you get your three different, like, point areas. And I was always, like, kind of hitting the middle. And then sometimes... when it got to a stage where I was like, no, I didn't do well there, I'd be after getting three. I'd be like top marks. And I'd be like, that. I felt like on the last two runs, I was way more in control, you know? I was actually a point ahead of the drone because I would...
I had to hold back almost sometimes.
Oh, man, because you'd be after repeating the drone things so much because that is just what these things are. You're never going to get past it on the first go. So it gets to a stage where I know where the drone's going and you almost have your own little shortcut down. But it almost felt like... I was being punished for doing that then. And I was like, okay, where's the balance here? What am I actually supposed to be properly doing?
That's the problem I've got with them is that, like I say, I feel like you were in control of Spider-Man when you're playing the game. You know, you are swinging and, you know, you can get around that city without swinging. You can just point jump, you know, jump. And that is amazing when you nail those over and over again.
So the speed you can get is ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely. But then you do these challenges and... I feel like the accuracy it requires is not quite what the game's actually gives you. And I think highlighting that in that way is bad. I think it's silly. I think it kind of pulls back the curtain and shows you, actually, you're not in as much control as you think you are. And that's a bad thing to do in a game that's about a power fantasy. And I know that's perhaps being overcritical, but it is something I spent a lot of time doing. There was one drone battle. In fact, it's the one where you go through, I think there's only one of these, you go along, you go near a bridge, and then you hit a point, and you slide through like a cylinder. You know the one? It goes into like a cinematic thing where you slide through the cylinder and out the other side. And
But
that one, I think I spent 45 minutes on, and I was at the point where it's like, I don't know if I want to platinum the game this badly because I needed that challenge, and it seemed like the one I could do because I was getting close to it. And I just feel like giving me the feeling of being Spider-Man and super in control of the game, then pulling the curtain back and saying, you're not as in control as you thought. Because I don't think the game's particularly difficult. I think it's just difficult enough on standard difficulty. Like that I did not like those challenges.
But in its defense, though, regarding that and getting the trophies, I do appreciate that they let you just kind of decide which ones you personally will be able to achieve. Because like they could have easily turned around and said, get full marks in every challenge.
I wouldn't have platinumed it. If it had done that, I wouldn't have done it.
Because I thought, like, when I initially
Not that I couldn't have. I would have just gone, nah, you're all right, thanks.
Oh, yeah, no, because there was moments where I got really frustrated with the drone challenges that I had to do every one of them...
A couple of the stealth ones as well.
Yeah, the stealth ones were odd. The stealth ones were odd because
Well, it was only said, when like, going back to Platinum that I realised you could use your bloody gadgets. I thought the stealth ones had to be all stealth attacks from above. I didn't even realise you could use the trip mines and the...
That's so funny you say that. I actually literally discovered that as well on, like, when I was going for the last couple of, like, two or three hours of the game. I was like, oh my God, I can use all the gadgets. This is way easier now. Like,
and all of a sudden you can do them in 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, I don't know why I thought that, because maybe it was just like, it's stealth, it's Spidey, do it, like, where
nobody
is. Well,
no, it's because they teach you that throwing your web at something is a distraction, so if you start throwing your webs around, you're going to distract them and set off the alarm.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know, I do have a question for you guys about this then, like, we probably won't talk about Spider-Man until, like, December time now. So I want to ask just a genuine question, and I'll give mine as well. So Chris White gave it 9.5 out of 10 for the site. Okay, given the same ratings, you know, half marks and that, like, Gaz, genuine, and there's no judgment, I just want to know personally what you guys think. What would you have scored this? Now, you've platinumed it.
No.
Okay.
I've not decided whether I'm going to platinum yet or not. I'm enjoying it, okay, but part of me doesn't want to ruin that enjoyment with the challenges.
That is fair.
But,
comment.
I mean, I probably agree with Chris's score. I'd probably go with the same.
Okay. 9.5. Okay, and Adam, what about you?
I would probably say maybe an 8.5.
Okay, that's where I'm sat. In any given day, I might have gone up to a 9.
I do want to say though that 8.5 would strong potential to get a 10 for a sequel.
Oh, massively. Like, it's a weird one because I did platinum the game and I didn't have to. And so part of me is like, well, if I was reviewing it, would I have? Well, no, because you don't need to platinum a game to review it. So would I have perhaps have done just more story and have done a little bit less of that stuff, which might have actually made me enjoy it more? So it's a bit of a strange one. The only thing I would say is we've compared it to God of War in the past. I will say when we were playing God of War pre-release, I would have given it a 10, same as Chris. Having platinumed it now as well, I would still have given it a 10. To be honest with you, Horizon Zero Dawn, I would have gone up very high as well. Like, that's only... They're clever with their trophies because, like, again, God of War, I had to do the Valkyries on easy, the last one. And if they'd have gone like, no, you have to be playing on normal difficulty for the achievement or trophy, I don't think I'd have done it. And that's quite clever. And they've done the same with Spider-Man. Like, you don't... There's nothing in there that... They're being quite clever with their trophies.
I think that's how trophies and achievements should be done, though. It shouldn't just be play on the hardest difficulty. Because it's like... This... I don't know, it's unfair. Because some players can't do it. Like, it's not a case of they're not good enough or anything like that. It's just they're just not able to do it for one reason or another. And to kind of punish that by basically saying, no, the only way you can get this is if you play it on the hardest difficulty or you beat this boss on the hardest difficulty, something like that. That sort of thing,
Especially, guys, when you say it's a game you absolutely love or a franchise you love and you really just want to give it all. Yeah. Like, you want to put all your 100% attention, you want to achieve, you want to see everything, you want to do everything, you want to accomplish it all. That sucks a lot because, man, like, being for me personally, being a big Batman fan, like, I've never platinumed any of those games because it's just...
Riddler.
The Riddler challenges can always fuck off.
I can't do that. Like, I can open up my laptop or whatever and, like, search up the locations, but that's not fun. No. That is just not fucking fun. And I think, like, I don't have many platinums, but, like, Horizon and, like, as you said, Adam, God of War, even Spidey, like, they're
still achievable. For me, by the way, just for the record, Bloodborne, Spider-Man, Horizon, God of War. But they're all Sony first party games.
All first party, yeah. And to me, all trophies should be looked at this way. I don't
like multiplayer trophies, and I don't like difficulty trophies or achievements. I do like that the game I always go back to when I remember the first time with, like, achievements, I was like, I really think this could do something, and it did. It became massive. The first Dead Rising, that game had just weird achievements for doing things like... It was great, and I wish, like I say, I wish in Spider-Man there were a couple more like that, you know, get 10, hug it out, the trophy's called. Like, I like that. I like the creativity of that sort of thing.
Can I ask you a question, Adam, right? With you finishing Spidey, right, and this whole open world thing, have you seen anything within Spider-Man that feels new and fresh within the open world franchise? Like, do you think, like, I like the way that's done?
Well, as I said, it's very unique that I wanted to do the... I mean, part of me was aware I'm going to platinum this game. I know everyone said it's an easy plat. There's still a bit of an achievement hunter, there always will be. The part of me is thinking, like, I can do this, but if I keep doing it on the way through, it's going to be a lot easier than at the end. I would have had 20 hours of content to do if I hadn't done it this way. It did mean it took me about 2 weeks longer to finish the game than everyone else, but it's done now, and I'm ready for the DLC. I would say I fast-travelled maybe 10 times or less, and that is interesting, but then... I don't think it's that big an open world. Like, it's an open world game, right? By definition, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not a big one. Yeah. And, it's more just open city
rather than open world, if that
makes sense. Yeah, it's a city. It's a city. Yeah. And I feel like they've shown that you can do open world without needing to be 100 hours long. But it is very much... It's a big city, obviously, in real life.
Yeah.
But the game makes it feel quite small. The only times I fast traveled was when I was literally doing trophy hunting. It's like, I need to just go and do a challenge. There's one, I'll just fast travel near it, because that is, it actually loads quite quickly, because I think that tells you how small the game is.
I think I only did the fast travel just for the trophy.
For the trophy. Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen maybe like Insomniac feeling way more confident and actually going, you know what, you don't need fast travel for this, because I just think it's a very safe barrier, and
I don't know why they bother with it, actually.
Yeah, you don't need it.
It doesn't make sense, because it almost feels like, what if people don't actually like how we've created the traversal in Spider-Man?
Yeah, it's fear.
It's a bit strange.
The thing that I would say is, like, if you've really loved Spider-Man, like people who, and I think most people who've played it loved it, I really think people should check out Sunset Overdrive. I really do.
I think that's
a really good game.
I've got it when it.
I think you'll
like it.
It
was on Games of Gold ages ago, so I've got it. I've just never actually downloaded it.
Like, it's bizarre to me. People, I mean, I was one of the few. I think I gave it an 8 out of 10. I really liked Sunset Overdrive. I thought it just really sort of gelled with me. But people are talking like Insomniac have suddenly made this open world game. Like, oh my god, how have they done this? Like, well, go back and play Sunset Overdrive, because I tell you what, the bones of Spider-Man are there. They are. But let's talk about some news, because this will put, you know, there's not a huge amount this week. Let's start with Telltale, or not really. Skybound Games will complete The Walking Dead, the final season. Skybound will work with the original devs. Now, I must admit, I don't know a huge amount about this, and as far as I've seen, they just said, let's wrap up Clem's story right now, more details to come, and it's good.
Yeah.
Of course it's good that the game will get finished, but there's still part of me that's going, what about all the others? Yeah. It's great you're making the game that then people can go and buy. Great, but what about all these people not getting paid?
I think this. I mean, well, to try and get all the like the originals, or at least some of the original developers back on to do it.
Okay.
I mean, there are kind of two things here. One is it's Skybound is it's the dude who created Walking Dead, Kirkman. Who owns it. So
yeah,
that
Kirkman.
Kind of makes sense that it's only really that one they want to concentrate on. But the other part is, these people, if they're taking them on for this, you know, the old Telltale people, are they only going to be brought on for that, or are they going to be kept on and work for Skybound?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, if that happens and they stay there, great, no, brilliant. But otherwise, it's a little bit, what, you know, it's not really going to help anyone. Not in the long term, anyway.
Like, wouldn't you, like... This sounds really horrible and clinical, but if I'm in their position, these people have just been laid off suddenly. You know, some people who literally moved countries to go and work for Telltale. Yeah. I'm thinking, no, I don't give a fuck about the last few episodes of your game. I'm going to go and get a job that will mean I don't die and I can eat.
Mm.
Like, I'm sorry, but it's a job.
Yeah.
And... It sucks for the consumer, but it sucks way more for people who are going to, like...
That's the thing, innit?
You know, if they get offered another job, then they should take it. I'm sorry.
It's too easy for people to be like, oh, yeah, we deserve to see the ending, whatever. It's like, well, no, because these
people... You know what? That's true. Yeah. That's true, but these people deserve
exactly,
to eat.
Exactly, that's it. It's like, too many people don't think of that side of it. They're just like, no, I want my story. When it's like, you know what? These people just want to eat. That, you know, they want to keep a roof over their
normally,
head, that kind of thing.
Normally, I would 100% see, and I think anyone who listens knows this is true, I would be 100% the consumer. In this case, there's 250 people who, like, need money to live. Like, they don't make games for hobbies, they make games for, it's a job.
Yeah.
That's what, like, I just want to play devil's advocate with this, right? How do you feel personally, knowing everything that's gone on with this story? Like, are you okay to just, like, give Telltale, like, the kind of money towards it and stuff, considering it's still not the full amount of people? Like, I don't know, really. Like,
not at all.
It's not enough now. At this stage, it's not enough to just have, oh, well, we'll give them their Walking Dead finale, so, because we've heard so much about that. I don't know if a lot of people are going to be comfortable with doing it now. There's been too much information put out there, and no matter what, when you play this, it's great. Look, if you're a fan and you get it, but are you really going to sit there going, that's great now? Because at the end of the day, there's still a shitty story surrounding all this.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's still going to exist, you know?
Thing's uncomfortable, and like I say, it's to be honest with you, I haven't personally seen a lot of wringing of hands, like, give me my last episodes. Most people I've seen are a case of, like, shit, I hope they get jobs. Like, Ubisoft did that job fair where they were like, come along, and we're gonna,
you did
know,
that come
food
around
drink,
actually? Did have we I heard think anything it must have like
done,
that?
But I don't know if they've done it yet, but they were. They said, I think they weren't the only ones that said they were basically like, you know, come along, we're gonna put food and drink on, talk about careers, see what we can do. It's been quite nice seeing the outpouring of people like, hey, come talk to us. We need staff, blah, blah, blah. I've not seen anyone. I mean, to be honest with you, this is probably a wider, more indicative of a wider problem, is that there hadn't been buzz around The Walking Dead finale season. There hadn't been buzz around anything Telltale had been doing for quite a while. And that's sort of perhaps part of the wider problem here, is that I don't, you know, we didn't even cover the final, well, we didn't get access to it, but perhaps this was going on. You know, I'm not moaning, I'm just saying, we didn't normally, we cover this stuff, but we didn't get the code for it, so we couldn't. It's a weird situation that's continuing to get weirder. I mean, hey, this isn't news, but hopefully everyone's going to be okay. Like I said, to me, the most important thing is that those people can afford to continue to live in a way they have been, you know?
100%.
In interesting news, Sony have actually renounced their PlayStation Plus, like, really early for them. I think it was an accident, but, like, November's PlayStation Plus is pretty good. Laser League is there. That was on Xbox. What was that Xbox? Games of Gold, or was it? It might have been Game Pass.
Yeah, Game Pass, I think it was.
Friday the 13th, the game. Well,
that's this month.
I'm fucking reading the wrong list. I do apologise. Yeah, I thought that seemed a bit familiar. Sorry, November is Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition, which Bulletstorm's fun. But the star is Yakuza Kiwami, isn't it? Like,
which I bought and still haven't actually played a while ago when it was like $12.99 or something. Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well, indeed.
Do you think this was accidentally leaked? I just feel like the October listings, especially with the Friday the 13th situation, I just think people were just like a bit more vocal than usual, considering that game is just in a bit of a shitstorm.
I did find it weird that was the game, considering it's essentially dead, isn't it?
Dude, it makes no sense. Yeah, it makes no fucking sense. The lawsuit is still like going on and everything, and that game is just, it's not looking good at all. Like it's just not looking good. And I think, like, to accidentally leak this, I don't know. I found it a bit like whatever. Because look, let's be honest. These games, they're not really that great half the time when every month they're announced. I'm not really that impressed. I don't know if many people are. I think this Yakuza one is cool, but if I'm honest, why didn't you just give us Yakuza Zero or something like that? You know, the one that everyone first kind of
Zero would be the best.
It'd be the best one to give, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bulletstorm, if I'm honest, like, look, no one's going to fucking play it. I'm sorry, like...
You don't think so?
I wasn't really a fan when I played it on 360.
With everything that's coming out, that game is just going to be added to the library and left there. And I know that sounds strong, but I just feel that that's where, when we're paying for the service and stuff, and they're doing this, you want games that you're going to play. Like, everyone should play this Yakuza game over Bulletstorm. That's a fact. But, like, when are you really going to sit down and be like, yeah, I'm going to play some Bulletstorm? Like, we're just not in that time anymore. And I don't know. They need stronger titles constantly, I think.
Well, do you need a Mega Man film? No, do you need a Mega Man live action film?
Yeah, this is a strange one.
So the film is currently titled, this is a shock, Mega Man, and it's written and directed by Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman, distributed by 20th Century Fox, Churnin Entertainment, who, you know, Planet of the Apes, producing it with Masioka of Heroes fame. I'm just reading our news story because I can't pretend I've got any interest in what Mega Man has to say. But, like, who plays Mega Man?
Oh, it's got to be hilarious anyway, whoever it is, to look Jim at them Carrey. In the suit. Oh, like, let's put it this way, okay? They're saying there's going to be, like, a high budget for this movie and whatever, and it's going to be, like, live action, all that stuff. Yeah. Like, if I'm honest, when the Ratchet and Clank movie got announced, I was more excited to hear that. Now, that was a disaster. Like, I'm not going to say that Mega Man is going to be amazing, but I would just like, do you know where I think
this is
going?
I would hope you wouldn't, Adam. I would sincerely hope you wouldn't say it's going to be amazing.
But saying that, I think Mega Man is going to go down the route of trying to achieve something like Ready Player One. I think that's where it might go. That kind of style. And look, I know piss all about Mega Man. It's just boss battles constantly.
Come on, come on. Who's going to play Mega Man? Come on. Give me a name.
I can't even think of anyone. I don't even think...
Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage. No, he could be one of the villains.
He'd be fucking Dr. Wily, wouldn't he? He's got that manic...
That's a good shout. Yeah. Nick Cage is Dr. Wily. He's a good... But who's Mega Man?
Well, who is... Hang on, Noah. First off, is Mega Man... He's just a normal kind of, like, kid, isn't he? He's just a kind
of... He's a robot, yeah. He looks like a kid, and the armour is part of it. But, yeah, he's a robot.
It's never occurred to me, ever, Tom that he looks like a kid. Which one's that, Spider-Man?
Yeah. Tom Hardy. Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Tom from MySpace.
What about... I've forgotten his name. Damn it, the guy in Game of Thrones who plays Tyrion.
The Mountain.
Oh, did he say Tyrion?
No, that's the opposite.
I'm blanking on his name myself now.
Peter Dinklage
as Mega Man.
Why?
Because I can imagine Mega Man with his kind of, you know, that English accent he does so well.
Of course.
Going up against Nick Cage. I just want to see basically a film where there's a good guy, it's Peter Dinklage, up against a bad guy, that's Nicolas Cage. I think that's, you know what? That's a movie I watch. I will watch Peter Dinklage versus Nicolas Cage. It doesn't have to be a Mega Man film, but I'm saying it should be a Mega Man film. Dinklage v. Cage.
Jesus Christ.
What a movie. Lastly, what an idea.
Like Freddy versus Jason.
Why are people making video game movies?
Oh dear.
Microsoft then. We haven't actually talked about the fact that they're doing their own PlayStation Experience thing called XO18. And this is the sort of thing I was going to expect them to announce during it. For those who don't know, like, PlayStation Experience isn't happening this year. But Microsoft's XO, which is their version of that, they're doing theirs this year. It's called XO18 because it's 2018. My Alexa, she's gone off again. And I don't know what I said that time.
I suppose it's the XO. She's just like, wait, there's an X in my name.
Yeah, I'd have to turn her off. That's weird. She's just trying to give people early access to this podcast. We're trying to live stream it. But anyway, I thought this was something they were going to talk about there. I thought we were going to get a new console unveil, like a streaming box unveil, and this, Project X Cloud, which basically is, I mean, the way I'm going to describe it, and I've watched the trailer and I've read up on it, Microsoft's version of OnLive. That's the way I understand this. Do you remember OnLive?
Yep.
But with, like, an enormous amount of money and lots of good cloud networking behind them. This is they are going to be trialling it in 2019. This is the ability to play basically Xbox One games on anything, really, anything that can stream. The video shows, like, Xbox One controllers attached to iPhone. Well, it looks like an iPhone to me, but it might not be. With, like, a little weird thing that, like, clasps it all together, like a Switch, essentially. They've got... And it's like, so it sounds like they've got... Do you remember PlayStation Folding at Home, which was basically loads of rack-mounted PS3s you were connected to? Remember Folding
sort
at Home?
Sort of.
No.
It's the thing you could do leaving your PlayStation 3 on in the background and it would be... I don't really know what they were doing. They were using the power of your console for something, or to solve cancer or something, I thought it was. I can't remember. But this is that. Like, they have loads and loads of rack-mounted Xbox Ones that you're streaming from, essentially. And this is the future, lads.
Oh, yeah. Hands down. Is there a price on this yet or anything? No, this...
no, but basically... it's all to do with, like, you know, the cloud, the Azure cloud thing. Mm. At launch, every Xbox One game will be supported, and no extra development work is going to be required. It's going to all be coded in there. That basically, if you haven't got a controller, you can use a touchscreen. This is if anyone thought it was smoke and mirrors and that they were just talking a good game, this is them saying, no, we're really doing this.
It's an interesting idea, but
if anyone can make on live or that thing work, it's Microsoft with what they've got in their cloud.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone can do it, it's them, you know?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
What I find fascinating is that in the video they talk about, they say something like, oh, whenever anyone talks about this, they say the same thing. You know, what about latency? What about graphics? What about this? We've thought of all that. And then they don't say what they're doing about it. They just say, So for me, the biggest issue as someone who likes fighting games is that I don't know how you can make a fighting game work streaming. Like, the latency involved, it's simply in button pressing. You know, there's, excuse me, some people won't use wireless controllers because they feel that's too much latency for a fighting game, you know? But, counterpoint to my own argument, have you ever seen or experienced Mixer's zero delay bitrate stuff? So it's zero latency stuff.
I haven't, no.
So that is like you're live streaming and it's instant. Like, there is no delay. That it's essentially magic. Like, I don't know how that works. Because, if you stream on YouTube, you watch one of our streams, you will be up to like 60 seconds behind.
Yeah.
You know, but Mixer is instant. Like, if you choose the zero latency, it is like there's a millisecond delay. Like, that is amazing. I don't know how it's done. Like, Twitch don't do that. You know, it's kind of magic. So if anyone can do it, I think Microsoft might be the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't seem as excited as me, you two.
I'm just always going to be a physical collector. I'm sorry. I know that's not like a big issue to a lot of people these days. Like, it is. This is the way it's going. But I just get... I know what it's doing. I know it's the future. I know it's where it's happening. But I'm just forever going to be somebody who likes physical products. And I know a lot of people have come to realize that they don't like it and they've gotten rid of their stuff. But this is cool. It is technology. That's the way it's going. But I'd be lying if I said, like, oh, this is essential for me. You know, I need this. Like, I don't know. It's just the way I grew up with video games and the fact it's all digital.
But let me put it this way. Let's say you've got your Xbox One X at home and you're playing Gears of War 5, and you have to go out and you've got an appointment somewhere. Now, you could whip your phone out and carry on playing on it.
I'm never going to play on my phone.
I would say there's millions
of Fortnite users disagree with you.
It's
completely, that's fine. If you can play Fortnite on your phone, that's brilliant. But there's no way I could find enjoyment or the playability to do Gears of War or anything like that on my mobile.
But you play it on your Switch. But you play games on your Switch.
I barely take that on the go.
Okay.
Like, that is normally always docked. Like,
same as me then.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. I'm not that, like if you look at my iPhone, I have not a single game on my phone.
Okay.
Like,
I'm sorry to have brought this up, Adam.
So don't ever fucking do it again.
Okay. Right, let's get into some listener correspondence. Thomas at LlamaFluff42. I think you'll have something to say about this, Adam. What would you like to see in the first hardware revision for Switch? This is assuming that's true. Have you all experienced new console madness where for an initial period you just buy any and all games for it? This wasn't from last week, was it?
We didn't have time last week, so we kind of held it for this week.
Okay, well, let's get into it then. What would you like to see in the first hardware revision for Switch?
Battery. The battery needs to be improved.
Okay.
I
suppose it could... I don't know how they'd do it, but it could be a little bit more comfortable to hold. But
See, that the one thing I don't think they're going to change.
It's not
any of the aesthetics.
Yeah, the shape isn't going to change.
No, because if they release a new Switch and your old Joy-Cons don't work with it, people will riot. I think it needs Bluetooth, like desperately needs Bluetooth headphones. Like, it's ridiculous that thing hasn't got Bluetooth in it. It needs a better Wi-Fi chip as well. Have you ever tried downloading a game on that
thing? Yeah, it's not the quickest.
It takes bloody ages. The kickstand's a joke. I don't know.
I said it before, but I just want a more of a grip on the console.
Right.
I know you can get attachments to it, but I just like something on the back that just can hold your hands comfortably. I know there can be a lot said about the Joy-Cons, but I don't know really what they're going to do. They are too small for me.
What about if they put a D-pad on them, a proper D-pad on them, rather than the buttons?
Do we still need D-pads?
Ah, fighting game fans would prefer a D-pad, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well.
Steady.
I know.
I don't think they'll do an awful lot. It'll just be stuff like the battery and maybe the screen, maybe a different screen. I don't see them doing an awful lot.
Do you know, this is a small one, right? Do you know what I want them to sort out is when you're putting in the game. I'm not a fan of the little hatch because I feel that that's going to eventually someday just snap. I don't know. I just would rather a little door just to pop up, and I just feel that when it comes out like that, I don't know, it's not really for me.
I'd like a headphone jack on the controller, be it the Joy-Con grip or the actual controller.
That is a shout. Yeah. That is definite, yeah.
Well, that and Bluetooth, you know, would mean a lot.
Going for the other question, though, I've definitely done a bit where I bought just, like, loads of shit.
Yeah, it's well documented, isn't it? 4K.
No, like when the 360 came out, for example, I bought about 4 or 5 games with that when it came out, and I'm just like, I don't even know why. So, but like some of them, I didn't even care about. I was just like, yeah, new games, let's give them a try. I just shouldn't have done it.
I don't think I've ever had that really. Even like when I queued up to buy a Wii at launch, Wii Sports was included. I think I bought one game. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's not up. I mean, the 360 is probably the last one that I did that with. So, I mean, like, the PS4, I didn't get until Destiny came out anyway. The Xbox One I bought.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I chose the Xbox One. Like, I wasn't even going to buy any at launch. But I worked a shit ton that Christmas and I was like, you know what, I want to treat myself. And they had Forza. So it was kind of, I'll buy, you know, I'll go for the Xbox One. I shouldn't have done, again, because that was one of those ones that, it didn't get used that much. And by the time it did start getting used, it had dropped in price massively. So I was like, that was a waste of money. But in swings and roundabouts, I've only recently got rid of that model when I got my X. So it's lasted, at least.
I mean, finally, he says, why do people still give out monkey nuts at Halloween? Surely no one likes them. I've no idea what he's talking about.
I don't know anyone who gives out monkey nuts at Halloween.
You do. You know what monkey nuts are, yeah?
Yeah, I know what they are. I don't know anyone who gives them out at Halloween. Unless they want their fucking house egged.
It's definitely the thing. It's just, they just taste like absolute shit.
I'm guessing it's like
I like monkey nuts.
It must just be like certain areas.
Adam Cook, no, hang on a second. You can't like monkey nuts.
I absolutely can.
Adam Cook, you're lying.
Well, I can't eat nuts, so it's neither here nor there for me.
Are you allergic?
Yeah.
Oh, brutal, man.
Well, thanks for that, Thomas. Dane, this is a good question. Dane says, it's his birthday this week. I'm not sure if that's last week or this week when I'm recording. I don't know. But with the money he's gifted, he wants to know, should he? 1, buy an Xbox with Game Pass, most likely the standard model, which I think he means the S, because that's the standard now, because my 4K TV does not support HDR. Or 2, catch up on some of the games I couldn't afford throughout the year, and he lists God of War, Spider-Man, Divinity 2, Bayonetta 2, and Captain Toad in that list. What should he
do? It's a tough one, because Game Pass has got some good stuff on it. But
it's got a good game, hasn't it? But it's also got a lot of good old games. So we're assuming here that he has not got an Xbox at all, which means he's missed every Xbox One exclusive.
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying. But God of War, Spider-Man, Divinity 2. Just those three alone are like, yeah. I think I'd be tempted to say go that route, but I know he also wants to play Forza Horizon 4.
Yeah, he's a member of our Discord, which, by the way, you can get access to our private Discord by patreon.com/godisgeek. $1 a month, you get this podcast early and an extended version of it, and our private Discord, loads of early videos, all sorts of stuff. It's well worth $12 a year or $1 a month. We give away more than that in codes to everyone, basically. So, yeah, consider it. But, yeah, he does want Forza, doesn't he?
Well, I'm going to say that, like, this question is quite weird, but I actually, this week is also my birthday, and I'm also considering getting an Xbox One. So, but I have.
It all lies on your shoulders now.
See, that's it, you see. And I want to play Forza, and I want to play, like, Gears 4 and Sunset Overdrive, as we just mentioned a while ago. There's quite a few games I want to still play there. I think when it's a birthday or a big occasion like that, I think just splash out and get the console. There's nothing better than, like, treating yourself to something like that, I feel. You can always get the games down the line.
It's difficult for me here because, like, I would say God of War and Spider-Man are essentials. Bayonetta 2 I played last gen. Captain Toad I played last gen. Divinity 2 is a game I know I'd love, but there's just no point because I'll never get through it. It's another one of those games. On the other hand, I play my Xbox a lot, but on the other hand, because I've got three, I wouldn't currently recommend anyone goes and buys a console right now, especially with Microsoft about to do their event this year. And I would also say, if you're going to do it, I would probably still say try and get an X. Because it's like the PS4, it's not just about the HDR, it's about the performance as well.
That's true.
You know, you play a game like Forza, for example. You don't have to have HDR and 4K on, but an X will give you 60 frames.
Yeah.
So I would say...
We're not helping him at all, really, are we? He's sat there listening to this going, what are you fucking doing? This isn't answering my question.
Right, I'll get an Xbox. I won't get an Xbox.
But what he's saying, as well, is with the equivalent of he would get an S, not an X. I know there's a financial difference there, but if you think of it in modern day, what he's kind of saying there is, I'm going to get a new iPhone, but I'm going to get the 2-year-old one. And no one does that unless they can help it. I mean, there's a third option. Does he buy God of War and Spider-Man, Divinity and all that, play through them and resell them and put that money back towards an Xbox?
The value won't be there.
No, okay.
I would probably say go for the games, purely because, like I say, those first three, God of War, Spider-Man, Divinity 2, are all spectacular games. And I think he'd get more out of those three games than most of the Xbox stuff.
The other thing as well is, you know that we still have exclusive to come from PS4. We don't. We only know of Crackdown, don't we?
Yeah, that's it. The Xbox
and Gears and Halo. I suppose it depends. I don't know if he likes Gears and Halo. I don't know if he had a 360.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I mean, if he's
so you're saying games.
I would say games personally. Yeah, I think that.
And Adam, what are you saying on the spot?
I'm gonna go console.
Oh, you motherfucker! That's uncalled for.
There you go.
Yeah. So now it all rests on your shoulders. Enjoy that.
Like, I totally see, like, what Gaz is saying. Those three games, brilliant. Like, it's spectacular. But personally speaking, a console, you're just like, oh, there's so much to get here. And, like, once you get those three games, when you finish them, you're going to just be like, oh, I wish I had the Xbox now. Because, you know, it's just... like, and also the games are going to go on sale.
By the time he's finished those games, there'll be a load of other games out that he can go for instead. You know, he will have had, like, the Red Dead and all that lot to come out.
So behind the curtain, in our Patreon's Discord, I did ask him, are they the only games? And he listed that there are a couple more, like Dragon Quest XI and Xenoblade 2, the Torna expansion, he'd also like.
Oh, yeah.
So he has a Switch.
Hmm.
I think, this is a cop out. I'm gonna say, are you like me, and that I have to have them all? I have to have all the consoles. Let's face it. If someone said to us, guys, you can't have the Xbox and PS4, you can only have one. Whichever one you had to give up, you'd get by. You'd get by. But I like having them all. So because of that, I'm going to say get an Xbox with Game Pass, because you will instantly get Forza Horizon you will instantly get all their exclusives plus a load of other games, and then pick up your games. Those games will go down in price. You can still pick them up. God of War and Spider-Man will still be amazing. It will still be amazing if you don't get it to pay it this year. But like, you will with Game Pass get Forza Horizon, you will get Gears, and you will have fun with them. And then you've got an Xbox. And if you can find a good deal on one, like you can get an Xbox One S for quite cheap if that's what you're looking for, you might be able to squeeze God of War and Spider-Man out of that cash. I don't know. So I'm going to say the console. David Ayers says, just tell us something we don't know. I can't, because I don't know what he doesn't know.
That's a good answer.
Okay, and that's answered that, David. Sorry, but we don't know what you don't know. I don't know whether to ask this last one from McPoo or not. I'm going to ask you guys should ask it.
I'm just going to say this made me sick.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Okay, so I'm going to ask it then. He says, would you rather have... Oh, she, actually, I don't know. I've forgotten from the name. Gaz? It's a he, actually, I do know. Sorry, I had to think then. Would you rather have pubes for teeth or teeth for pubes? Adam?
Oh, Jesus. I get sick thinking about it. Here, actually, do you know what? Going to bring in the last question as well, very quickly, that'll also go with this. I recently have this weird thing about teeth. And I'll tell you why very quickly, is because there's this show called Channel Zero. And I've never seen it. It's like some sort of like anthology kind of TV show, I think. But if you ever look it up, there's a guy in it, I don't know if it's a villain or something, or some sort of character, but his entire head is just teeth. And it looks disgusting. And ever since, I just have this weird thing with teeth. I have no idea. And the whole situation of this question, it doesn't go anyway. Like, that's good for me. Like, I just... Like, what am I supposed to say? Really and truly. Exactly. Like, what are you going to say? Like, if you really do think about it, both of the situations are shite.
No, because right, if it's teeth for pubes, are the teeth then pube-sized?
No, what? How do you get a tooth? What?
I can't even work out the logistics of it.
Well, I like eating, so I'd like to keep my teeth. So that answers the question, doesn't it? I like chewing food, so I that's it. End off.
But hang on now, then you have teeth hanging off your bollocks. Or no, what is it? You have pubes hanging...
That was right. But like, let's be honest, it's not really a win-win situation, this, is it?
Like, that's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable. Yeah, you'd have to give up. You'd have to give up wearing boxer shorts because it'll just be too much pressure going on.
Yeah, but I won't die from the fact I can't eat because of what pubes where my teeth were. And I'd chew.
But hang on. Let's play devil's advocate. Do you have to keep these teeth clean?
Are you asking...
Do you have to brush the teeth hanging off your bollocks?
That was not the question, and I'm not prepared to answer it. Jesus. Keep them coming. Keep the questions coming. That's all I'll say. Keep the questions coming. I haven't heard from big old Bongos, Bongo Billy, since that initial question, so hopefully he's going to... Or she. It's probably he. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Goddess Geek podcast. If you don't know, you can find us on iTunes and all those places. But if you leave a review on iTunes, massively helps us. It's just, you know, subscribe, leave a little review. Brilliant. Even if you've been listening to us for like 8 years, because you are out there, I know you are, just go back and leave a review. It would be really helpful. I mentioned the Patreon, obviously youtube.com/GodAsAGeek, Twitter, Facebook, GodAsAGeek. You can find Adam, myself, and Gary all on Twitter. You know by now, but just in case, at Adam Soaks, at BlueFury43, at GBSF, and of course at God is a Geek, and Instagram. We're even on Instagram. We're everywhere. You can't
got the number wrong again. How do you keep doing this?
Yeah, I know. because right, even though it's on the screen at the bottom of this document that I read from, I'm so arrogant, I don't even look at it. And that's why I'm getting it wrong. Okay? That's me. I am known as the arrogant one of the Adams. Definitely. Thank you very much for correcting me. It's Blue Fury 47. I actually did manage to get that wrong by mistake 2 weeks running. But at least I didn't call you Chris this week, which is an improvement. Sometimes I don't find the outros as much fun as I find the rest of the podcast. My mind wanders. I am a human being who does a lot of hours, and I'm just running out of excuses. Gaz, Adam, thank you so much for being here this week, as always.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And we will speak to you, dear listener, whenever you choose to listen. Or next week. Up to you. Doesn't matter. See you later. Bye.